Book of Joel. Right after Hosea. In Joel chapter 1. Let's look down at one verse there that I want to pick out for our passage today. Verse 6. For a nation is come up on my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. Notice in that verse, for a nation is come up on my land. God says, this is my land. Somebody's come up on it. We're going to talk about my land today. Amen. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you got land that you've given to a nation of people that people don't like. But you've been defending that land, and you're going to defend that land to the last, because we read the book, back of the book. Bless us as we talk about my land today, and may our people be encouraged and informed. And may we love the Lord more because of who the Lord is and what the Lord has did for us who were sinful and lost and blind and headed to destruction, but you rescued us by dying on a cross. We praise you and love you today. Amen and amen. God made the whole world, didn't he, folks? You know, God didn't even get anybody to help him. Amen? You know, I have to get somebody to help me all the time. There's not many things I can do anymore without help. Amen? But God made this whole world. He didn't need any help. He didn't get any help. He just made it. And he can give it to whoever he wants to. Do you know that? And he says right here in this passage that he's got a land and another nation is come up on it. And God don't like it, folks. God doesn't like it. 8 times in our Bible, our King James Bible, God says he owns the land of Israel. Did y'all get that? 8 times God says in our Bible, he owns the land of Israel. Now, who is it says they own the land? The Palestinians and Hamas, those enemies of Israel. They claim that's their land. Well, according to the word of God, God gave Israel that land. Now, we're going to see who's going to wind up with it in the final analysis before this world comes to a close. Amen. Although God made all the world, he owns all the world, and he's given Israel a piece of land. You know what's so sad about all that land God gave Israel? And if I understand right, it's about 300,000 square miles. That's a lot of land. They have never ever occupied it. They've only occupied a portion of it because of their disobedience. But it's their land that they have failed to been able to enjoy. Now, all other nations All other nations have taken their lands. No other nation of people has God ever given a land. All other nations just took their lands. That's why we have wars, fightings. That's the way history is, wars, fightings. As hostile nations attempt to take other nations' land, to enlarge their land. It's been this way for centuries. You read the Bible, it's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Boy, have we had. Jesus predicted that himself. And still then hadn't got here yet. Greedy, wicked rulers want to rule the world. That's the pride of man, isn't it? That's their goal. They want to be the top brass. The Nebuchadnezzars, the Pharaohs, the Caesars, the Hitlers. They want to be the rulers. They don't want to be in control. They want to enslave people. Power is their God. But look at history. Where's Nebuchadnezzar at? He's in the graveyard. Look at where all the Caesars are at, the Pharaohs are at. Look where Hitler's at. Hey, they're all going to finally go away. Amen? Yeah. Somewhere around 2,000 years before Christ, God made a covenant with Abram, later known as Abraham, and he would give him and his descendants a land flowing with milk and honey. That's about the 2,000 years before Christ. Actually, that was also about 2,000 years after creation, thereabouts. Not only would God give him a land, but God promised that he would be his God and that he would bless Abram. Boy, I want you to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 12. Wouldn't hurt us to read this. You follow along in Genesis chapter 12. And the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I'll show you. And I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Abraham's going to be a blessing, not a curse to people. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that has proved to be true. Abraham's descendants have been a blessing. I'll tell you what, God has used the Jewish people in every trade that you can think of to be the head of just about every trade. They are very intelligent, talented people. You're taking jewelry, in banking, in clothing. I mean, just about anything you talk about, the Jew is top. Here's a man living in a heathen pagan world that God selects out, which would be his people and use him to bless the whole world. And through Abraham, we have three world religions that he's the head of. That is Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. They claim him to be the father of all three of these. Remember, after Adam's sin, civilization just went downhill, didn't it, after Adam's sin. Think about now, Adam knew God. Adam had fellowship with God, folks. They knew God. Well, Cain and Abel also knew all about that. They passed that all down. And it went down, but you know, the further away it got from the family, the less pagan, or the more pagan, the more pagan, the more pagan, and finally we know it got so bad that God would finally. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You think about the people today. All they think about is something evil, something wicked. They're plotting to take advantage of you. And now we got all this technology, our computers and all this technology, those smartphones and all. And what have we got? We got people sitting over in different places, and they can interrupt our equipment and mess it up. They still haven't got gas back at all the tanks yet from something that happened over a month ago. Now the meat processing, the biggest one in the United States, has been hacked. And price of meat's gone up. Faye says she looked at some steaks this week. Ribeyes, that was $18 she'd been getting for $12. Evil men, folks, sitting behind a desk with a little piece of electronic, robbing people, stealing people. If you got $2 or $3 in the bank, there's no telling how they may get it out. People smart is dumb. I'm saying dumb in that they're evil. Yeah. And it repented the Lord he'd even made man on the earth. Now that's a sad state. The loving God was, it repented him he'd even made man. It grieved his heart. And the Lord said, I'm going to destroy man whom I've made and created from the face of the earth. You know what? God sent a flood like no other flood, and it won't ever be another flood like it. But it was 15 cubits over the highest mountain in the world. Now, that's a lot of water, folks. But God had told one man to take and build his ark for him and his family, and that one family survived. One man, his wife, three boys, and their wives. And God was going to repopulate the earth. After the flood of Noah's day, as Noah's three sons began to repopulate the earth, about 400 years later, man again had turned away from God. It just don't take long for man to get away from God. You look at our churches today. We used to have right many people in churches, and some churches have already closed down. People getting away from God. No time for God. No interest in God. I'm doing pretty good myself. And if I can't make it, the government's going to send me a check. You know what's the matter? Listen to me. Man's a sinner, and he's been away from God. Just about 400 years after the flood, man has gone away from God again. And if you don't work on your... Listen to me this morning. You as Christian men and women and myself, if you don't work on your spirituality, you'll drift away. If you don't keep feeding your spirituality, you will drift away and you'll get cold and indifferent. And you don't care whether you go to church or not. I'm just telling you the truth. Man is going to worship something, but too often it's some object rather than the God of heaven. Yeah. He really will. People worship houses, cars, lands, jewelry, and other people. So God called Abram the son of an idol worshiper. Listen. Abram was the son of an idol worshiper. And he was going to call Abram to be Abraham, who would be the father of the nation of Israel. God was going to get a nation of people to be his people he could use because the world needed to know about God. From Abraham, who had a son named Isaac, then Isaac would have Jacob, and Jacob would have 12 sons, and the 12 sons would make up the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's how God would start forming a nation of people to be his people, and they would be known as the Jewish nation. But Israel had some enemies because of who Israel was. And you know that hadn't changed either. Because of who Israel was, she'd have many enemies, nations like the Canaanites, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Palestinians, the Philistines, and others would often harass Israel because of Israel's disobedience to God. Israel, God's people, would be disobedient, and God would raise up enemies to harass her. Isn't that awful? You know, if you and I don't walk the line, God will raise up enemies to you and I too. He'll cause hardships, difficulties, troubles, make your life miserable. A lot of Christians are miserable today because they're not living for the Lord like they ought to be living for the Lord. As long as Israel obeyed God, God took care of those enemies. Just like we read in our Sunday school lesson today. Boy, I like that lesson, Brother Johnny. Israel was obeying the Lord, and the Lord was taking care of them. But when Israel quit obeying the Lord and wandered from the Lord let them enemies just come in and encroach on them. Directly Israel was crying, Lord, Lord. But they had to suffer because of their disobedience. But Israel's real enemy was not other nations. Israel's real enemy was Satan. Satan hates Israel, has from her inception. Because she was God's people, that made Satan naturally hate her. Israel had been given by God, God's word. That's why Israel was hated by the devil. And not only that, but in the word of God, it said that God was going to bring a Messiah. And Satan knew about what Genesis 3:15 said back there when God said that the woman's seed would bruise his head. Satan ain't no dummy, folks. He knew what was going to be going on. And he hated Israel. He hated God's people. And he did all, and he's been doing all he can to cause Israel to be a failure. He just hates her. Today, Israel is hated by practically every nation in the world, right now. Just about every nation. Our country is supposed to be an ally. We have been, over the years, pretty much an ally. Right now, it's pretty shaky today. It is pretty shaky today. Not only is she hated, but there are a number who are actively plotting to destroy her right now. And we got people in our leaders in our country today that's even helping support them people with our tax dollars. Did y'all know that? Obama sent pallets of, I don't know how many millions or billions of dollars over there when he was in office to build weapons against God's people. Because they hate Israel. They hate Israel. Nations like Iran and Russia and Turkey Hamas, Palestine, and others are building weapons right now. And they're plotting to use them against the Jewish nation. Just in the last few days, weeks, I don't know how many thousand missiles were sent into Israel from her enemies. But you know what? Because of what the United States had did in the past in helping Israel, we had a defense system over there that helped block those things. They call it the Iron Dome. It helped protect them. I tell you, further on down the line, we're going to see God even take more action himself in protecting Israel. Now, Israel's going to pay for all her sin now. Don't misunderstand. And don't forget, she's fixed to have her worst days ever after church is raptured. Because there's a prophecy that's got to be fulfilled. That prophecy is there's 490 years of judgment on Israel. And she's only experienced 483 of them. She's got 7 more years to go. And it's been a timeout for 2,000 years. And the timeout, the church age, has been coming about. But when the church is raptured, those last 7 years of appointed judgment's got to come on Israel. And it's going to be the worst of the 490 that's appointed. This Jesus himself said these next 7 years Israel goes through is going to be the worst the world has ever known. That's how horrible it's going to be. Praise God, I've been saved. Praise God, I won't be here. Praise God, the church won't be here. But so sad, many people we know might be here if it happens pretty quick. And I'm expecting it every day. I expect it every day. Wouldn't it be something to suddenly be gone? And we would be in white robes on the other side, brother. Amen? Amen. Amen. We wouldn't be eating chicken. Amen. Amen. Listen, no amount of argument will persuade these hostile nations that God promised Israel their land. Even though they got this book too, they know what this book says. They just don't accept it. They don't accept it. Yeah. When Jesus visited the temple at the close of his ministry, he gave a preview of the future to his disciples in Matthew chapter 24. Listen to me. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. Lord, look at this beautiful temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, listen to this now. Listen to prophecy from the Lord, if you will. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. Talking about the temple there in Jerusalem. That shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when all these things shall be. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They wanted to know about the future from the Lord. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And that has been true, folks. And shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not. Think about all the wars we've known about in our age, our lifetime. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. We had one in Alaska this past week, 6 point something. All these are the beginning of sorrow, just the beginning. Did you get that? Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's been true of the Jews, isn't it? Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Boy, don't they hate them? And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of money shall wax cold. But the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. There's going to be a few people saved at the end of the 7-year tribulation. A few Jews, a few Gentiles. Most people's going to be killed. God's going to get rid of all the sinners in the world during the 7 years. And what few's left are going to the 1,000-year reign. 40 years, listen to this. 40 years after Jesus told his disciples about the temple and that not one stone would be left upon another, 40 years later, the Romans marched into Jerusalem, destroyed Jerusalem, and tore every stone in the temple down. There's not one stone left on top of another stone. And it's still that same way to today, 2,000 years later. Now, Jesus made that prophecy. It was fulfilled. Listen to me today. These people that say this book is not true, they don't know what they're talking about. There's so much fulfilled prophecy. There's so much fulfilled prophecy that proves this book is true. It is true. The devil don't want you to believe it's true, but it is true. In 1948, Israel was recognized as a nation again. They've been out of their nation. Listen. And during the presidency of Donald Trump, Jerusalem has been recognized as the capital of Israel. Just recently, in our lifetime, we got to see that. And then right after that, what did he do? Trump established our embassy to go there. Now others have gone there. And before he got out, illegally put out by fraud, he got some peace treaties signed with some of the former enemies of Israel. But the enemies of Israel still rage at her, don't they? But we're still supposed to be praying for Israel. We're supposed to pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Her enemies constantly threaten her and pledge to wipe her from the map. They do, and they hate us. They cause us, oh, Satanists, ourselves. We're hated too because we support her as much as we do. But there's one problem about them wiping Israel off the map. They got a problem. You know what the problem is? God. God's their problem, Johnny. Gonna be better than in the days of Joshua, won't it? Amen. Gonna be better. Her enemies, they constantly threaten her. Wipe her from the map, but God's got other plans. The enemies of Israel has failed to consider God. Israel is God's people, although she does not serve him as she continues to reject her Messiah that he sent. But God says the Jews have defiled the land and they will pay double. The Jews have defiled their own land. In the past, they used to have idol worship, Baal worship. It's pitiful what the Jews have did against their God. And they're going to pay double. The Bible says in Jeremiah 16:18, listen to this. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. Israel's going to pay for her sin. See, God's people pay when they sin, folks. Y'all listening? God's people pay too when they sin. You think all the people out of church today is going to get by? And because they have defiled my land, God says. The Jews defile their own land with idol worship. Hey, folks, God takes them personal. This is his land. Now, he gave it to them, but they defiled it. And they're having to pay for it. And even though we heard a good Sunday school lesson how God defended them and letting hail come on their enemies and destroy them, when Israel got out of God's will, he judged them just like other people, folks. Folks, let me tell you something. God hates sin, whether it's with Christians or non-Christians. We better walk careful before the Lord. I can only say it. This old book proves it. This old book proves it. You can't get by with it. Now in Ezekiel 36 and 5, if you want to go there. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, against all Edomah, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Here's these enemies took possession of God's land, and God don't like it. He said, prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have bore the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. So the heathen that's come against Israel's land, they're going to pay for it. Israel paid for it when they defiled God's land. The heathen will pay for it too. There's a prophecy in Ezekiel that Russia and all her allies will invade Russia, Israel in the last days. But God is going to intervene, and all of them will be decimated upon the mountains of Israel. You think about Israel. Poor little old Israel sitting over there all alone, and here comes Russia and all her hordes of allies that surround Israel today. They're all going to come down on Israel. Don't have a chance except for God. And the Bible, if you'll read Ezekiel 38-39, no problem with God. God just brings up a bad cloud. Hail, storms, wind, rain, driving rain. If you ever drove in the rain, it's so hard you had to pull off the road. You couldn't hardly see to pull off the road. Now that's bad, isn't it? When you can't hardly see to get off the road, it's going to be worse than that probably then. In Ezekiel 38:16, one verse I'll select out to share with you. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel, God says to Russia, who is called Gog here, as a cloud to cover the land. They're going to have so many, looks like a cloud coming in the sky. And it shall be in the latter days. Oh, see, folks, we're getting down to it. And I will bring thee against my land. God says, I'm going to bring you against my land. That the heathen may know me. God says, I'm going to cause all the world to know who I am, that I am God. When I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, up before their eyes. Ezekiel 38:16. this invasion is thought to be, by some, to be before the rapture of the church. It could happen any time, some say. Other scholars think it'll be during the middle of the tribulation time. The Bible doesn't make it clear when it will be. It said the latter days. So we might see it, or we might not. Then at the second coming of Jesus, all the nations of the world are going to again gather against Israel. They've fed up now, so all the world, all the armies are going to converge on Israel. And to totally get rid of her at last. Get it over with. Then at the second coming of Jesus, all the nations of the world will be gathered there to totally destroy her. And the Bible says in Joel 3:2 says this. God says, I'm going to gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is outside of Jerusalem, in that big valley. And I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. Y'all scattered them among the nations and parted my land. God takes it personal when people part Israel's land. Israel's had to give up land to survive. The day's coming, God's going to settle the score, folks. The Apostle John tells of this coming victory over the enemies of Israel in Revelation 19. Oh, I love this passage. Turn to Revelation 19, verse 10. John said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judged and made war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That's us. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean, not made in China, by the way. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fiercest and the wrath of Almighty God. He has on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. God's going to feed all the wild animals and the birds with the bodies of the enemies that he has there at their last, folks. Folks, that's going to be a time when Jesus Christ comes out of heaven against the enemies there at Armageddon, and they are just devastated. And you know, it's going to be all the nations of the world's armies gathered there. And if our nation is surviving at that time, it'll be there too. And with the leadership we got today, we can see why, can't we? No problem in seeing it. I'm just telling you what the book says. This preacher believes the book. Now let's look at another chapter in Zechariah. Turn to Zechariah. You ought to read Zechariah sometime. It's a good prophetic book also. I love to read it. It talks about this same thing when God gathers all the nations together, all the enemies of Israel, his people. God's going to take care of them, folks. Amen? Folks, let me tell you something while you turn it there. God will take care of you if you'll trust him. Amen? God will take care of you if you trust him. God will trust him. In Zechariah 13, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations, God said. He didn't say he's going to gather some. He's going to gather all of them. Against Jerusalem. See how them Jews are hated? God's going to settle the score, folks. Oh, and the city shall be taken. Yeah, Jerusalem's going to be taken at that day, just before Jesus gets there. And the houses riffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. When Jesus comes back, he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And that mount's going to split in two, the Bible says. And they shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half of it to the south. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter darkness. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord... Listen to this now. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Now you think about that. And their eyes shall consume in their sockets, and their tongue shall melt in their mouth. When our soldiers dropped those two bombs on Japan at the end of World War II, they say that people, when those two bombs fell, each one different times, but each instant, that people were standing up and there was a skeleton there because their old flesh had melted off, and then the skeleton finally collapsed. The heat from those bombs just evaporated them. Jesus says right here, when he comes, people's eyes are going to melt in their sockets, their tongues in their mouth, their flesh on their bodies. All these nations coming against his people, the battle's over with one word from the Lord. Folks, you can't mess with God. You can't mess with God. God is God, folks. You think about a God that can speak and make this universe. Just speak. And you can say to God, you ain't got no right to tell me what to do. Oh, brother, folks. That's what people are saying to God today. This is my life. I do what I want to. Well, you can think like that. But God have mercy on your soul when you're screaming in hell is all I can say. God has all of this written in his word, what I've been talking about. That land over yonder where Israel's at, God gave to Israel. That's God's land. And everybody, even our politicians today, that's in agreement to divide Israel's land, they're going to answer to God one day. Every one of them. I'm telling y'all the truth. There's a judgment day coming. So God has all this written in his word, and yet the enemies of God, listen to this, listen to me. Please listen. It's all written right here in the word. They can read it if they would. What's going to happen to them? It's written down. And so most people today ignore the warnings given in God's word. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. Yeah, God has said to Russia, to all these nations? What's going to happen to them? And yet, what are they doing today? Right this hour, they're building bombs. They're building weapons. They're plotting to come against Israel. And yet, God's already told them what's going to happen when you do. What do you call that? Stupid or stupid? Amen? I mean, it's right there. And I believe it, folks. I believe every word of it. Today, our present government does not support Israel as they should. They do a little bit, but it's kind of timid, right? Israel has little support from anywhere. That's why we need to keep praying. But God will not forsake her, and in the end, Israel will enjoy a great victory over all her enemies, and she is going to enter the millennium to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Wow. And there's going to be Gentiles, too, that saved during the tribulation. They're going to enter in, too. They're going to repopulate the earth. Amen? But listen, God said that land over yonder is my land. I told Israel to be on that land. That's Israel's land. And anybody that plots to take away that land from Israel, going to answer to me, God says. And to me, I see it like this, like on abortion. If you agree for abortion, you're just as guilty as those committed abortion. And people will answer to a holy God. Listen, in closing today, God has sent us all a Savior. We all need a Savior. God sent His only begotten Son into the world, and whoever will believe in Him. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Trust Him. Love Him. Serve Him. Let Him have your life. Let Him put you where He wants you at in life. Trust Him. He's going to make a way for us. He didn't say it'd be easy. We have to go through struggles. We have to go through trials. We're in a sin-cursed world. Remember that. But in the end, the Bible says, when we get on the other side, what you went through here will seem like nothing. Amen? Won't that be good? Won't that be good? Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for letting me try to share this message today with our people, Lord. Bless them, encourage them, challenge them. Lord, use us together, Lord. Lord, let us do great things for the Lord. Let us do greater things for the Lord. Open our doors greater, Lord. Make us a blessing, Lord, to help people, Lord. We love the Lord. We love the Word of the Lord. We love to work for the Lord. Remember us, Lord. You are our Lord. In Thee we trust, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May God bless. You'd like to come to the altar this morning? I wish you would. I wish you would. Come talk to the Lord at the altar. I think the altar is a special place. You come and talk to the Lord. Come.